Proverbs 10, verses 14 through 32. This is God's word. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. The wage of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. What the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless, but destruction to evildoers. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. Let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would teach us from your word. We thank you that we can come and study. And we recognize that you give to us abundant riches. Teach us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we look at verses 14 to 32. And notice verse 14, the wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. What is it that has shaped you to be who you are? Well, we would think about our parents, our upbringing, where we were raised. We'll think about important and influential people in our lives. We'll think about sometimes even principles that were taught to us when we were young. We may think about schools that we learned and grew in. We may think about all kinds of different things that have influenced us. And we even think about genetic kinds of things where there are family traits and tendencies that we may have. Some clearly seem to be we learn from family and that we are like our parents. But some things may be even deeper than that, that are hard to actually assess. But today, what is it that really shapes you? How do you conduct your life? How do you think about your life? Well, I think what the Lord through Solomon wants us to think about is that the scripture is to shape us. And if you notice verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life. The fear of the Lord is a principle that we find all throughout Scripture. We certainly find it in the book of Proverbs. The idea that we have a respect, a reverence of the living God, that we recognize that He is God, that there is no other, that He is the authority in our lives. He is our King, our God, and that we recognize that He is the one who has power, eternal power, and that we have been called out of the darkness of the world into His kingdom and given life and light. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, the Lord says through Solomon. It gives us meaning and purpose and a sense of kind of who we are. And so as we look at these verses, I want us to think about, what does it mean for me to fear the Lord? To recognize my life is under the lordship of Christ, and that I am to live and serve Him. As we look at these verses, notice how they seem to flow, in some ways at least, out of verse 14. The wise lay up knowledge. The idea is that the wise are storing up knowledge and wisdom. It's something that we do. We will say, note to self, don't do that again. That didn't go well. I don't want to do that anymore. There'll be times when we learn from our experiences. There'll be times when we are really seeking to grow in our knowledge and in our wisdom. And to be wise is to learn from the past. It is to learn more and more about who God is and what He's doing in our lives. Notice all the way through this, and I'm sure you picked up on it as you looked at these verses, Solomon draws sharp contrasts between different groups of people. All you have to do is just kind of walk through those verses. The wise, the fool, the rich, the poor, the righteous, the wicked, the sluggard. Character traits that people will reflect and exemplify. But then also the concept of the attitudes and the approaches that we take to our lives and how we think about life. But notice how he also deals with circumstances. Wealth, poverty, earning money, wages, gain. The concept even of concealing hatred. The use of the tongue. And the attitudes with all kinds of things that we're doing and things that are going on in our lives. And so as we walk through these verses, I want you to consider that the fear of the Lord is what really ultimately shapes us and how we see and use our resources first. You think of verse 15, verse 16, verse 22. And the wages and the wealth. How do you view your money? How do you view your resources? Maybe you've heard the story. There was a Presbyterian, a Methodist, and a rabbi. They were all pastors. They're in a study, and they were talking about what they did with the offering. Right? So, Presbyterian said, you know, I draw a circle. Of course, they don't do this because we have people that take money and deal with that, and we don't ever touch the money. But I draw a circle, I throw the money up in the air, whatever lands inside the circle, that's mine. Whatever lands outside the circle, you know, that belongs to the Lord. The Methodist did the opposite. The rabbi said, I throw the money up in the air, whatever God wants, He grabs. Whatever comes down is mine. Right? We sometimes view money in strange ways, right? We sometimes think of it as really ours. My dad really convinced me when I was a kid that nothing was mine. Not by being harsh or cruel. He said, you only have one thing that really belongs to you. That's your word. If you break your word, you have nothing. because he was strongly convinced that everything in this world belongs to the Lord, and that it's given to us as stewards to be good stewards of those resources. I've always remembered that. It was a great lesson for me. That's something that I want to shape me in the way that I view resources. And looking at verse 16, the wage of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. Derek Kidner suggests that as you look at this verse, don't blame wealth or poverty for the quality of life. What a great principle. Whether we have a lot or little, that isn't really the issue with respect to the quality of life. Sometimes the Lord blesses people, and sometimes with riches, sometimes he blesses them with less. But the quality of life, that's different. That's something that's shaped in a different way. Think about the way our society is now. It's a victim mentality, right? Everybody's a victim. They want to blame other people for every bad thing that's happened to them. We have to be careful not to fall into that mindset. Wealth is to be used for God's glory. And when we lack wealth, we are to give thanks for God's provision and the way that he takes care of us. Look at verse 15. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. That's not necessarily a good thing, because a rich man can look to his resources that is everything that saves him, rescues him. It's like a strong city to him. Our hope always has to be in the Lord, whether we have money or not. But notice too, the poverty of the poor is their ruin. That the poor can also fall into the mindset that I don't have enough, I'm not going to be okay. And we need to be able to think about our resources in different ways. Verse 22, the concept here, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it, goes beyond financial resources, but it's the idea of God's blessing, his mercy, that he blesses us in powerful ways, and blessings are far greater than the riches we have. Stop and think about your life, and you think about the gifts that we've been given, the relationships, our families, so many things that we've been blessed with. We're reminded of how wonderful it is that we get to serve the Lord, we get to know him. It might seem strange, but being thankful for indoor plumbing is a really good thing. You know the story about the woman who was in her granddaughter's kitchen, and she's looking at all these great appliances, and she asks her granddaughter, "Well, what's your favorite?" Granddaughter said, "I think it's this refrigerator. I love this refrigerator. It's really wonderful." And grandma shook her head. She said, "I'll take running water every time." You know? And I remember my grandfather had a farm that he had running water by the time I came along, but he had a pump in the back. And that used to be where he would get his water. And having a pump is a lot better than having to go down to the river and getting water too. We have great blessings that sometimes we just take for granted and forget about them. So here, in verse 15, it's making sure we look beyond the things that we have and remember the riches and the grace and the mercy that God has given to us, the way that he's at work. That reminds us that the fear of the Lord, knowing him as our God and King and how he's at work, shapes us. Notice, too, the fear of the Lord shapes how we see and use our words. Here, there are a number of verses in here that really talk about the use of language, the use of our words. Verses 17 to 21 and then 31 to 32. And the concept of instruction, certainly, but even how we speak. Look at verse 17. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life. To listen, to pay attention to instruction. Probably all know people that you can't really instruct them because they already know everything there is to know. They're hard people to kind of get along with sometimes. But here, for us to listen, to heed instruction, is the path to life. But he who rejects reproof leads others astray. How careful we have to be with how we speak. Think about Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. That we are instructed by the word of God. Verse 18, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Sometimes we think it's really good to conceal anger, hatred. In fact, often we think one of the great attributes today is to be nice. Now, nice is not an attribute of God, but we think to be nice is for everything on the outside to look good, when sometimes even on the inside, we're not really dealing with reality. It seems that here, the Lord, through Solomon, is challenging us to be honest. We don't have to be hateful, but to deal with our problems. How often do people leave churches because they're angry at somebody, but they'll never talk about it? How often do we have family disputes where it's under the surface, but it'll never be brought out and dealt with? How often do we just ignore people at work because we don't get along with them rather than try to work out the relationship? There are all kinds of circumstances like that. And I think the challenge is to not be deceitful, to not be dishonest, but to try to work through issues and problems as best we can. Verse 19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. We can dig ourselves pretty deeply into holes sometimes, right? And then we just keep talking, and the hole just gets deeper and deeper. There's a place for wisdom and restraint, to know when to speak and know when to listen. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent, to be wise in what we say, to be thoughtful, to be careful. That's really what the scripture teaches us. Verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The value of being able to speak wisdom and to hear wisdom spoken to us is a great gift and a great blessing. In fact, in verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many. The concept of even being able to speak words that are helpful, that build other people up, that are encouraging and challenging, is a really positive thing. Think about Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only what's helpful for building others up that it may benefit those who listen. That's the concept of to be able to think that when I speak, I'm concerned for other people and what they'll hear and how I can minister to them and help them. And that becomes a way that we can feed and encourage other people and bless them as they are in relationship with us. The fear of the Lord shapes how we live our lives. Verses 23 to 30. You see, in these verses, the concepts of behavior, attitude, and life. And we see those sharp contrasts again. Look at verse 23. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool. Doesn't that really strike you? Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool. How many people do we know and hear that think doing the right thing really doesn't matter? It's not important. It's just a joke. But wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. To seek wisdom, to seek to be faithful, to seek to do the right thing. We see all through this section sharp contrasts. And it's for us to be shaped by a relationship with the Lord, with His Word, of how it influences and directs us and guides us as we seek to serve the Lord. And you notice all through this section, what the wicked dreads will come upon him, the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. You have this repeated picture of that which is good and that which is problematic. Notice, too, the fear of the Lord points us to the righteous one, ultimately. Look at verse 16. The wage of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. Though Solomon doesn't really articulate lots of things clearly about the coming of the Messiah, at least not in the book of Proverbs so much, there's principle here that the wage of the righteous leads to life. How true that is of the Lord Jesus. His righteous life purchases life for us. As I looked at that verse, I thought about Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a picture there, I think, of the contrast between what Jesus has done for us and our inability to be able to save ourselves. So Jesus earns eternal life for us. Verse 22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. We have been made rich by Christ's death on the cross, by what he's done for us. And then God's blessing and mercy that he pours out upon us. Verse 29, the way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless. What a great gift we've been given, that we are recipients of God's grace and mercy, and that he's made his salvation known to us in a powerful way. And verse 30, the righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. Ultimately, the righteousness of Christ given to us is a gift that now we in him are also, or have received righteousness. Think about Nicodemus. He meets with Jesus at night. He wants to know who Jesus really is. He wants to understand more. He's seen the miracles. He's understanding this is really important, significant, but there are questions that he has. There are things that he doesn't really fully understand. And Jesus says to him, you must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. I think Nicodemus had a whole bunch of questions he wasn't able to even ask. But if you look at his life through the Gospel of John, you see him come to faith in Christ. Because by God's grace, the Lord was at work in his heart and life. He was among a group of people who had hardened their hearts against the Lord, who were convinced that they knew everything there was to know about God and about his kingdom. But Nicodemus saw that there was more to Jesus, and he continued to listen, and by God's grace, God worked in his heart and drew him to himself. Maybe it's because Nicodemus really had a genuine fear of the Lord. He genuinely wanted to understand the truth of Scripture. And again, it was a gift of God. For us, as we fear the Lord, as we respect him, we honor him, we worship him, we recognize that we've been given life in Christ, And as we come to passages like this one, we realize we want to continue to grow in our knowledge of the Lord and of His Word. We want to know Him, and we want to be shaped by the truth of Scripture. That we want to use our resources for God's glory. We want to use the money that God gives us for His glory. And we want our lives to reflect the glory of the living God. Let's pray together. Father, we do ask and pray that as we come to passages like this, that we'll be reminded of this great sharp contrast between the righteous and the wicked. Sometimes in this world, in this life, things kind of seem to blend together. But yet we recognize that you call us to be people after your own heart. So we pray that you would give us grace to seek you, to seek your face, to desire the work of your kingdom, to meditate on your law day and night, to be planted like a tree by streams of water, that we yield our fruit in and out of season, and that as you work in our hearts and lives and we store up wisdom by your grace, give us grace to be able to share the things that you teach us with those around us and hear the things that they are learning as well, that you might be honored and glorified in all that we do and say. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.